All right, hello everybody, happy Monday and welcome to Lais and the Coach. This is Lais and I am the coach. And on today's episode, we have a special guest with a great story. Yessi, welcome to the show.
I'm so excited.
I feel like there should be theme music.
I know, you did so good. I'm so proud of you.
So Yessi is coming off her first WBFF show just 2 weeks ago, right? It's 2 weeks? Is it three?
I think it's two.
Two weeks ago.
Yeah.
And we are going to talk about everything that went into that.
All the things.
All the things.
You ready?
First.
I'm ready. I'm ready.
So what made you decide to even pursue this?
So I started training with you like in January of 2021, and then I did an immersion weekend in March of 2021. And I asked a couple questions about the stage, and then maybe like 2 weeks later, Lais is like, I don't always do this, but I think, you know, maybe you should consider the stage. And I was like, okay, you know, and then it just kind of went that way. And then I spoke to you and we set it up, and I was kind of like, I don't know what I'm getting myself into, but sure, let's do it.
Let's give it a try.
Yeah.
It's certainly been an interesting road, to get to that place. Obviously, I'm sure you've watched the show, but just for context, can we talk about what you do for a living and how your days are, so that we could breathe a little light into how we get this done?
Sure. So when I initially started, I was a test chair at a magnet school. So I worked for the public school system. And that's what I do. I also sit on the board of a nonprofit. So every now and then I'm doing like little charity events or whatnot on the weekends. My husband also sits on he's on the board of his nonprofit. So I help him with that. And then somewhere in October of 2021, I was promoted to assistant principal. So now I get to help run a school. So that's kind of what I do. That's what I'm doing now. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about your schedule, because I find the way you break down how you do things really interesting, because it breathes a lot of like, sometimes it just has to get done type perspective. So what's an average day look like for you in terms of when you're training, how you're eating, and how you're juggling work?
So typically the idea is that I get to work at 7 and I can leave at 3, but it doesn't really work. That's the idea. It doesn't work that way. I at some point I started to wake up like at 5:15, which we were working on for a while, like, let's get up and get the workout in. And I'm like, yeah, I'll just do it in the afternoon. But once I moved into this position as assistant principal, that afternoon workout was very tricky. So I'll get up like at 5:15, try to get the workout in then, or I do get it in, and then go to work, and then work happens. Rescues get called, fights happen, whatever happens throughout the day, and then I'll have a game, or I'll say, hey, I actually have to stay at a game today, or they just sent me off site to cover another school, or something crazy happened, and things will happen. So, and then I eat just kind of where there's pockets in time. If I remember, I'm like, oh my God, yes. I'm like, I forgot to send you my shake, and I'll send the shake, or I'll send my food to other group chats. That's just kind of how the day works. But the days, because of games at night at like 4 o'clock, I mean, I remember there were times where I was like, okay, I'm running home, I'm going to squeeze a meal in and then run back, because we have open house or a Hispanic heritage thing, and then I'm gonna make it back, and then I'm gonna do a walk when I get back. And I remember just getting the little muscle, like, yeah, I was like, I guess that means good. I don't know, you know.
You even did that with posing a few times. You're like, I just got home from work really quick. I have 30 minutes. Here's my posing. I gotta go back to work. I'm like, what?
Yeah. I was like, okay, I can do this. And I mean, I am blessed that I work like 12 minutes away. So I'm able to do, I mean, something like now in the afternoons, it'll be almost 20, but I am able to come back. So that was actually a really good shift, even though the days got a little crazier. But yeah, it's been pretty wild as far as the schedule goes.
So let's circle back to when you first got on this journey, because initially it wasn't about getting on stage.
No, not at all. So I lived with my grandparents for about 5 years, and I worked at New World, and there was a coach there that was 82 years old, the PE coach, and she would outstep the kids, cardio, aerobic, like all this stuff. She would walk, jog 5 miles a day. And she was just, I mean, we would go up the stairs together and she would just zoom by me. I'm like, this woman's 82 years old. And I had just turned 40. I'm like, this is sad. And then I live with my grandparents who were right about her age, and they weren't really moving as quickly. They were actually kind of, you know, as far as walking, they were, my grandfather specifically was kind of deteriorating. And I was like, okay, I don't, like, this isn't, like, if I have to pick at 80 what I want to do and what my life needs to look like, I want it to be like the coach, right?
Right.
So that's why I reached out. And that's still the ultimate goal. I told the coach, I'm like, these next 40 years have to be better than the first. And that's still my ultimate goal. That's the goal.
So funny you say that, because I posted. I posted about that today, right? Because, you know, more and more we see a lot of research and more doctors talking about how exercise is the one thing that can, you know, predict most mortality rates, right? Like, as we get older, we get frail, you could slip and fall. And a lot of times that sounds simplistic, because you could slip and fall, and breaking something isn't usually the end. It's like you're not able to recover, it doesn't heal, all the complications that come as a result of it. Yes. And it's a lack of strength in the most basic, you know, way, because you didn't step right. So more and more we see how exercising is the one thing that can diminish a lot of the risks later in life, you know. And I think that because it's so simple, like, just work out, right? Like, everybody disregards it. There's no magic pill coming. Not coming, you know. There's not, because there's nothing that a pill could do to create that much stimulus.
Yeah,
the pill could not stimulate your muscles, make you stronger, make your heart beat faster. Like, there's nothing that a pill would be able to do. And I don't know why that's such a hard
concept. I think you say exercise and people like freak the fuck out. They're like, oh my god, exercise. Like, it's so miserable. It's like, you don't have to like be a bodybuilder. Like, you don't have to lift a bunch of weights. You don't have to run a marathon. You know, you have to just move your body and eat the right way. Now, if you have a specific goal, then that's going to require specific workouts, specific training, specific, you know, whatever. But if the goal is that, like, to get to 80 and just be agile and just be in good health, and just, it doesn't require like bodybuilding workouts or triathlons or anything that crazy, you know.
Exactly.
And you were not a workout person before we talked.
No, like, I mean, no. As a kid, I did a lot. And I think I did so much as a kid that I was like, I've worked out, kind of like what my grandfather did when he sat down and he said, I've worked all my life, I'm not doing anything else at 72. And then those 10 years, I kind of did the same thing, but in like my late 20s, I'm like, I've worked out all my life, because in your 20s you think that's all your life,
right?
And I was like, I don't need to do this anymore. So I would do yoga, or I would walk, or like, you know, when I met Sergio, I'm like, sure, I'll go to the gym with you. I'm like, I'm not lifting any more weights, I'm going back on the treadmill, you know. But it was very scattered, and it would happen for 2 or 3 months, then kind of die down. And but it was lifting weights, no, that was not, God, no. Even when we started, I remember he would send me workouts and he's like, 30 minutes. I'm like, I can't do this. Because if you would have put an hour at that time, I was like, I am not lifting weights. And by weights, I mean like a 10-pound dumbbell, right. By the way. I'm not lifting like 50 pounds, guys, at all. Like, I was like, 10 pounds, whatever, you know. I can do 30 minutes of this, yeah.
And as you, you know, I remember at the very beginning, there were like a lot of questions about all these things. You know, you've always been one of the more inquisitive people, right?
I know, yeah.
No, but that's okay. I always tell everybody, ask all the questions that you have, right? I think that when you're asking a lot of questions, you're actually present in what you're doing. You know, it's almost like the opposite. If you don't ask anything, it's like, are you even doing this?
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of times, you know, I'll program things and I know what I'm programming. If you don't have a question about it, like, you read through it.
He says it all the time. There's no question and there's no complaining or some sort of feedback. Like
thumbs off. Like, you didn't read it or you're not doing it.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is.
But she is more inquisitive.
But you were always more inquisitive about like all the things, like, you know, why are we gonna do this? And is this gonna do this? And is that gonna do that? Right?
I can drive people crazy 100%. Yeah. Ask Sergio. I'm like, why are we doing? He's like, why is it always? I'm like, I've been doing this since I was 2 years old. Like, it's not gonna change. And I'll ask my mother. But yeah, I've always asked questions. I've always, which is counter. Right? Because you guys are like, you don't always need to know, you just got to do it. And I'm like, no, but you don't understand, like, I need to know. And it's not because that's going to help me get it. It's just in my mind, I'm like, I got to understand.
It just comes out.
Like, I'm just like, yeah, I got to know.
I think sometimes we say that because the explanation, like, it's almost like there are things like my son asks me, right? He's 7, that I'm like, there's no way that I can explain to you right now and you would get it. Or that it wouldn't cause some sort of like reaction, right? So it's like, I think a lot of it is like that in this process. It's not that the questions are bad or that you can't know how it's working, but it's just that sometimes you're not gonna because you haven't done it for 25 years, right? Or because that question's gonna lead to something else that's gonna freak you out that is like, but you don't have to worry about that, you know? So it's like, it's almost like that, like sometimes you're not gonna get it. Sometimes there isn't an answer that's gonna like fit, I guess.
Right, 100%.
You just can't, but yeah, you have said that she's very inquisitive.
Do you think people don't ask enough questions in general?
Oh, yeah, I work at a school, they don't. Yeah. They don't. They're just kind of like, sure, I'm gonna do this. And I'm like, why? Like, why are you, even if a teacher is like, and it's funny because the kids that do ask questions get in trouble.
Yeah.
And I'm like, see, I don't, that's definitely not my philosophy. And I don't think so. I think as a society, we tell people not to, like, we kind of train people not to, or like question, what are we doing? You know?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to say it's 2020. 2020 is all I got to say about that.
Right. And it's funny because there's so many times that me and the other AP will look at each other and we're like, what are we doing? Like, we're constantly questioning what we're doing, you know. And yeah, I mean just in life, yeah, I don't think we ask enough questions. I really don't. Yeah, absolutely not.
So what part of this like, I think that with you there's two parts to your process, right? Like, when you first got started, you have longevity based goals, like you wanted to have more quality of life, and then as you got further along into the process, like, all right, so we're on this other road too. What part was most surprising and what part was most challenging for you?
I think most surprising was the being able to just weigh my, I'm like, oh God, I'm gonna weigh food. And that was probably surprisingly like the easiest part. And once I would have my meal plan, then Sergio knew like how many ounces, 3 ounces. And I was like, no, I can weigh. And then both of us were, not his food, but we were both weighing my food. It didn't matter because it was pretty. And I was like, this was surprising. Not, I mean, easy in the sense that I didn't struggle with it, right, as much. Even the prep time, I was like, I'm not hungry, coach. Like, I'm fine, of course. And I was like chewing pickles. I'm like, why is everyone hungry? Obviously, I was super busy, so I didn't have time to think about whether I was hungry or not. So that was a surprise. And being able to get through that and being able to get through the workouts, I really surprised the heck out of myself to not curse on the podcast.
Please curse.
Yeah. cried the shit out of myself. I was like, I'm working out. I mean, like I've said in the past, I would, Sergio would come in and he's like, what are you doing? And I was like face planked into like sleeping, like taking a nap. And he's like, I don't know what's going on. And that went away. It went away and it took some time, but that feeling of the fatigue, I remember telling the coach so many times, I'm so tired, you know, and he's like, did you show up? Yeah, I showed up. I'm like, it sucked, but he's like, did you show up? And I'm like, yeah. So that surprisingly got easier. And I don't think I struggled with the workouts and the nutrition as much. That was good. And I surprised myself because I don't think I've ever been that disciplined in my life ever without like me choosing to do that. Everything else was always chosen for me. The gymnastics, the ballet, the modeling, the softball, all that stuff was chosen for me. I never chose something. So to choose it and actually stick to it, I was pretty impressed with that. So that was definitely the surprise. The challenge was definitely kind of just letting go when it came to the posing, the outfits. I was like, what is this craziness? Like, I don't want to, I'm like, this is not who I am. And being able to just like, it doesn't matter if it's you or not you, like it's part of this, you know, and being able to let go of that, or, you know, understand that it's not defining you. It's just another part of you. Like that was very challenging. I don't think I got that till the last photo shoot that yeah. I was like, okay, that took some time. Even the posing, I'm like, why am I kicking my leg? Why am I doing that? Like, what is this craziness? And she's like, just follow it. I'm like, okay, whatever. I'll kick my leg again, you know? And there was the flicking of the foot. And I'm like, this is crazy. But it had nothing to do with what Lais was saying. It had to do with me picturing myself some way and being self-conscious of how I was gonna look on stage. I was like, oh, I'm gonna look like those girls that like do this. And like, how am I gonna keep that up? You know? And once I let go of that, I was like, I don't care. Then that part started to, and that was like really towards the end. Like that was not.
It's such an interesting point. It was at the very end. Like we went through like 8 months of it not looking like that. Like it literally happened like 2 weeks before the show.
Yeah,
But you know what I think it is? And we talk about this all the time. Everyone that goes on this journey, regardless of what your why is, whether you want to lose weight, whether you want to transform your body, whatever the reasons are, everyone goes on this journey for change. But then as the change starts to happen, people fight it without even noticing that they're fighting it. You know, and we say it all the time, like change requires change. No one's trying to change who you are, right? No one's trying to tell you got to flick your foot every day when you're walking down the hallway at your school.
Right.
But it's like, this is another side of you or another side in general that you might not have any of right now, but that if you choose to explore it, you can add to your life and it could be, you know, Yessie 2.0, where you have this newfound confidence with the ability to piece together outfits better, or the ability to show up a different way. And you can be more X, Y, or Z thing because you're giving yourself the opportunity to explore that. So it's interesting how many people want to change. Like you said, like, well, I don't want to be like that girl. Like, why not? Like, and you don't have to be like that girl. You could be you doing something different, but people fight. I wonder why people fight so hard to stay the same when they're in a process to change. Do you know? Because you're really good at analyzing people.
Honestly, like, I think that a lot of times when people say that they want to do something different, they may not always be ready for what comes with that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like even in a case like this, where you want to, anybody that wants to compete or get ready for a show or transform their physique, right? You're like, I really want to do this. Right. Great. That's going to come with exercising and making mindful choices of your food and that. And it's like all the time, like, yeah, all the time.
Yeah. Like,
for how long? Well, as long as it takes, like, you know, and I think that a lot of times people are asking for certain things or want certain things, but are not always ready for all the other stuff that comes with it, right? Or even, you know, in a relationship, right? You get married with somebody and all of a sudden you live with someone and you are sharing everything with someone.
Right.
Not everyone is ready to cohabitate, right? Because everybody brings their stuff, right? How long does your shower last? How long does your shower last?
Right, like, right.
You know, it's like all these little things that...
Oh, we need a whole show on just that.
But all these little things that are different that yeah. you may have said you want, but you're not really ready for when it's happening. And sometimes even in relationships where people care for each other, you're like, no, you're going to have to adjust the shower schedule because whatever, you know, yeah. I need hot water or like you're taking
too long. And a lot comes up. And we were talking about that with Gen 7. Like you go on this journey for your physique or even to do something fun. And you didn't realize you just fucking opened Pandora's box.
Right.
Like, there's so much stuff that's going to come out as it's all happening. And that's a part to that.
Right. 100%. So I think that the journey itself brings out a lot of things. If you are fully present, it's just that one of the things that is definitely interesting is when it happens.
Yes. And how it happens. And a lot of times that has to do with the personality. Because why?
We've even seen it not happen until after a show. You know, like yeah. show's over, we're done. It's like, and then boom, it's like,
oh wow,
like, all right, now it's done, you know.
Yeah.
But ultimately, like, the transformation still happens.
100%.
You were part of the infamous Hallandale photo shoot,
yeah, yes, the break in, all sorts of things photo shoot, yeah.
I want to go back to that moment.
The reason that I bring it up is because how many things that were like just so weird like that happened along the way for you that you couldn't have like predicted or planned for?
So, I mean, I don't know. It just didn't stop. I was like, what? I mean, life was just happening, right? We got COVID and then Sergio's COVID was a lot worse. And I'm like, this sucks. Then I start school, then I get promoted. And then as school starts, because we're not with the whole hybrid, like COVID, MSO, physical, online, whatever, now everyone's back in the building. I have two new administrators while, you know, I'm there, and that changed. So my show was actually supposed to be November 2021. And I remember like, you have to be focused. I'm like, how can I focus on this? Like, I'm focused on work and I'm focused on it. Like, I have a husband, like I got 20 things going on. I don't know how to be 100% focused on the stage only, right? Even though I don't think, like I said, you guys would say things and I like heard something, but that's not what you were saying. And I realized it on stage when I had like the moment. But I was like, I don't know what you guys are talking about, because I was like basically drowning in whatever what was going on. And then like fast forward, we pushed the show back, a couple other things happened. And
Sergio
then
had surgery.
Sergio had surgery in December. And I'm like, oh no, man down. Because Sergio actually, you know, side note on that, Sergio is a very big part of the process because he's so supportive with, you know, the meals and even like the working. He's like, you didn't do the, I'm like, I did the workout, like, you know. And he's so supportive that, you know, him not like taking his, I'm like, oh crap, I gotta like cook all the time now, like I gotta like measure everything. I was like, okay, you know, not a problem, you know, that's part of marriage, you know, somebody's down, you step in. But I was like, oh crap, I didn't realize like how big of a help and how important he was to this whole thing. And that was really like, his recovery was so great. By like the second month, he really was fine, but the doctor's like, we're gonna hold this for 4. And then, yeah, I don't even know what happened after that. Like that was like December.
We had trips, we had vacations to navigate around.
Oh yeah.
Vacations that you didn't take.
I had vacations I didn't take. There were several. Then spring break, I wanted to go somewhere and I was like, not happening. And I remember you're like, other teammates. I'm like, nope, I'm not doing that, because I just knew that I didn't want to, I needed to be here and I needed to focus. And I knew that on a trip, there, I know myself, and I, yes, I'm more disciplined, but I'm not that disciplined. So I was like, I know I'm gonna be like, yeah, I did my workout, let's go, you know? So I was like, no. And I'm like, I need to sacrifice this. And that was a hard call, because we like to trip, you know, we like to go on trips, and we were gonna go to Nashville, I believe. And I was like, no, we're not doing it, because I need to be able to. And that was the best week. That week made me realize that I need to find another job and like work at home, because it was probably the start of like a really good run into the show, because the coach is like, okay, 14,000 steps a day. I'm like, he's crazy, but we're gonna make this happen. And I did, and I felt amazing. And then I was like, God, yeah, I can be home and work out, and I can work, I can figure out some kind of work at home. But to have that kind of flexibility, I realized that week is when I realized I need more flexibility in my life. Not because you can't get to the stage without it. It's just,
for you,
it was just different. Yeah, mentally, you're just in a different space, you know? So yeah, so that vacation didn't happen, and it was okay. Like, other things happened in that vacation that made it, you know, probably more enlightening than a vacation, right? So.
Did you along the way have, like, I guess in your social circle, like a lot of people questioning what you were doing, why you were doing it, or did people kind of just stay away from the topic overall?
I think like at work, there were a lot of people like, you're crazy, you're, you know, under all this stress, people are like, I'm going out to drink this weekend. I'm like, guys, I don't drink anyway, so that doesn't affect me. And other people are like having tostadas. They would leave croquetas on my desk, and I'm like, get that nonsense away. So I would go and like put them elsewhere. This was at work only. I'm like, sabotage you. People are like trying to sabotage me. But in my family, surprisingly, they were like, oh, you're weighing your food? Like, cool. You know, they weren't like, rah, 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 go and do this. But they were like, oh yeah, no, you know, Yenny, she's working out. She's, you know, doing her thing. And they were kind of just, they knew not to bother me. So because they were going to get my, they were either going to get a smart remark from me or Sergio. So they kind of like stayed away. But the crazy part was, once I became the assistant principal in that, I work in Hialeah. So people are like, what do you mean you don't want a tostada? I'm like, no guys, like tostada is not. Yeah, they're like, what? I'm like, I mean, I can ask the coach, and if there's a toast, I'm sure I can have one, but I don't, like, we're not opening Pandora, like, we're not opening that door. See, like, tostada is like a gateway drug for me. So are like cookies and ice, like, I just stay away from it. Yeah, other people, you know, 3 ounces, but if I have 3 ounces, I'm gonna be like, I don't know, coach, like, are you sure one more? So I try to like gauge that food stuff. But yeah, work was, they're still doing it. They're like, you want a candy? I'm like, stay away from me. You know, stay away from me with Satan's food. Stay away. Yeah.
That's awesome. When was it? I know that we've talked about like you had your stage moment. It was like, but along the way, did you have other milestone moments where you're like, you know, seeing that the journey that you were on was kind of moving you in a positive direction?
Oh yeah, like, I mean, like I said, the consistency, that was a major, and I kept surprising myself. Like every time I showed up, I'm like, I'm here again, you know? So those were always aha moments. You know, the scale, the measuring, like, all that stuff. I was like, coach, but like, you know, the scale didn't go down, but the measurements did. I'm like, this shit doesn't make sense. Like, I was constantly like mind blown with things like that. Or just like, I remember, I think I saw Marcia in the photo shoot, and she's like, oye, está flaca. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I kept having to not fight, but I kept having to kind of readjust like my self-image, because people were like, oh no, you look fit. And I'm like, guys, like, I looked in the mirror, that's not. So that was a constant, you know, that was a constant, I don't want to say it was a battle, but a constant like back and forth of like, okay, something's obviously changing, because everyone around me is saying it, and I'm still like, no, you know. So there were moments of that, and there were moments of, like, you know, realizing that it wasn't so much about how you looked, but how you felt about yourself. And I felt when I wasn't tired, I was like, oh, this is, you know, this is so much better, you know.
It's so much better than being tired.
Yeah. I'm like, God, I mean, God, being tired sucks, you know? And I remember, like, being sore for a while, and I was like, coach, my hips have been hurting for like 3 fucking months. What's going on? And he's like, have you ever worked out like this? And I'm like, no. And he's like, yeah. And it went away, you know, but I'm like, I'm pretty sure I pulled, like, I don't know what's going on. So, like, just like trusting in myself and letting go in different areas those were big milestones, you know, being able to let go. I used to be a little more like laid back, and then somewhere I got a little neurotic with the, I gotta like understand and like do it. Like, it was just, wow. Like, you know, so that has been a big aha moment now, to just stepping back. And I'm kind of like we're doing something at work with the master schedule, and I'm like, hey, it'll be fine. Like, I'm not as worried about it. And I'm kind of like, who is this person?
So, and those are
so much more.
Those are the wins that people never think about. And if they're not present, they don't catch, right? Even what you said before, when you were home that week and you were working on this instead of on vacation, how many moments where you were just enlightened up with, like, what if I did this? Or what if I change my career because I don't really love it, or I'd like mm-hmm. more flexibility, you know? And look at me showing up, and look at me saying no to this. And like, so many, we were talking about this in the other podcast too, so many things change along the way and through that journey that have nothing to do with fitness or competitions or weight, right? Like, or anything. They're just life things. And this journey will spill over into literally every single
thing. You know, I think that it's also because you have to show up for this consistently, right? And in a lot of other areas, you don't, right? Like, a lot of times when people undertake, I mean, you've seen it, you've been around for a while, like, people want, like, I want to lose weight. It's like, all right, great. So let's get on. But then midway through the week, they've already like given up, and they're like, I'll start again on Monday. It's like, this requires that you show up consistently over and over and over and weeks and months, right? And I think that you do get to the point where you say, damn, showing up for me feels good. Where else can something I keep shifts. Showing up for me, right? But I think it's the buildup of that. It's like working out, right? Like, you work out, you're not sore anymore. Like, oh, now I feel good, right? Now I've overcome the soreness. Now I'm not tired anymore. And then it all starts to click. But it is definitely the result of that compounding consistency, which I will probably coin and tweet, because I like the way that sounded. Compounding consistency.
Yeah.
Something flips when that happens, and it spills over into the decisions that you make in other areas of your life, how you show up in other areas of your life, how you feel about certain things. If you're saying now, like, you're not as neurotic with, let's say, your work stuff, that takes stress off of you, right? It's like, that's so much more important than the stage, you know, like, because that's your 100%. Everyday life. The stage is one day. It's, I mean, even if it's one day of whatever amount of time you're doing it. So those are really the big wins. And a lot of times people aren't present enough to recognize that. And I love that you always have been like, wow, look at me doing this. Look at this. Usually I would do this. Because in the same way that you kind of thought, like, this is not who I am, you've been present enough to be like, look at who I am now. Look at this new me, or look at this new version of me. So they kind of go hand in hand.
Along the way, you also showed up to a bunch of photo shoots.
Dead.
She's like, yeah.
I did the photo shoot, which is so
how different was that for you? Like,
oh my God, the first photo shoot, I looked like a statue, because I would stand and they're like, okay, do this pose. And I was like, all right. But like, I wouldn't move. And it reminded me of like when I was little, my mom would tell me stand up, and she would call me a scarecrow, like Panta Pajaro, because I would just stand there with my arms out, like, how's this pose? And that's kind of how the first photo shoot went. And then, you know, the next one was different. Like, I showed up and I didn't care. Like, I had candy accessories. And then I did this other thing, and it was different. It's still not it's not my full potential, because I know there's more where that came from, but it's much better than standing with your arm straight out. And like a photographer's like, okay, like, you know, so that was a big shift from one to another.
And you did the one show weekend as well.
Oh yeah. I went to the show weekend too. Yeah. Yeah.
How did you see or how do you remember these little graduation points for you from the scarecrow to how you showed up on show weekend?
Oh my God. I can't even tell you what, as nervous as I was about the show, like I don't know if I looked it, because Sergio's like, are you good? I'm like, yeah, I'm good. But I know I would verbalize it. I'm like, I'm freaking out, you know? And I mean, I think I'm pretty good at keeping, like, you know, things could be happening and my poker face might be okay, but like inside I'm like, guys, no, I'm freaking out, you know? But show weekend was, as freaked out as I was, there was like this weird sense of calm. Right, like I don't know what it was, and I'm like, I don't know if I'm calm, like I'm pretty sure I'm gonna freak out at some point, but there was this weird sense of like everything's going to be okay, like everything's going to be fine. And I get on stage, we do the parade, and I'm kind of like, I'm mumbling, and I hope they don't have like audio. I'm like, what the fuck are we doing? Like, what the fuck are we doing as we're like parading around the stage? And I'm like, oh God. And then when I'm on stage and I'm like waiting, you know, that I go up the stairs and I'm waiting and I'm there, it's like, I kid you not, I felt like spotlight, like, oh, like the aha moment happened right there. And I was like, I don't give a fuck. And I just like took off and I was like, it just clicked on stage. And I'm like, this is bizarre. But you know what? If it was gonna happen anywhere, that was a pretty cool way to have, like with lights and everything. I'm like, why not? That's where it happened. And I was like, I wasn't nervous at that point. Like once I stepped on and right there in the center, I was like, I'm going for it. Like, I don't care anymore. That idea of my arms look a certain way, my legs, I was like, I don't care. That's not what this is about. Like, just go. And I went, you know, and I walked through the fire. And, you know, like I mentioned, like I didn't disclose that when we first met, but I was like, coach, like I have freaking anxiety, and why someone with some kind of mild to moderate anxiety is doing this is beyond me, but we're doing this, you know? And yeah, like, I was like, we're doing this and we're seeing it through. And right there, it just kind of like, there was no anxiety. There were no, it just happened. And I was like, this is crazy. Like, this is crazy. Yeah.
So awesome. So
it was special. It was very special. Yeah.
That's great.
Love that. That is so awesome.
That, you know, it's all the things that you ever hear, right? Like being prepared. Like there was really nothing to, like, you did all the things, right?
All the things.
You put in the reps, you did the work, you did the workouts, you ate the food, you practiced your posing, like you did all the things to get you ready for this moment. And then the moment arrives and it's like, all right, I've done this like a million times already.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if I'm doing... said that, a few people were like, I don't know what happened. I just got so calm. And even on that weekend, they're like, maybe I'm in denial. Maybe the workout is coming. I don't know what the fuck is going on, but I'm really calm. And I'm like, that's great.
Yeah. Yeah. But and I, you know, and having the team there, I don't know if it was the vibe of it. Like, it's just the having the team there was. It was comforting because it was such a big group of us that I was not alone. I had Monica standing next to me, and I was like, you know, prior to going on stage, I'm like, Monica, they're going to be like contestant 302 step off. Cause I'm like, I need to control myself. Cause I remember telling her, I'm like, somebody on the team's got to play. There's like four of us on here. Somebody's going to play. And I'm going to be, and I was the person clapping in the background, and people are still posing. And I'm like, I don't care. Woo. Yeah. Go Jen, you know, go Natasha. And she was like, they're going to throw you off the stage 302. And it was cool to have her like right there. And then Jen and Natasha, you know, so none of us were really alone on stage. And then coming back, you know, backstage and having that vibe was, I think that was a big part of it too, that we felt comfortable because we had each other as well, aside from being prepared, obviously, because, you know, I mean, they even changed the stage configuration and we're all like, all right, we're going to do our poses on this side. Like, we got it, you know. And even with that, like, we were like, it was cool, you know, and having the support of the team was that, like, that's definitely a big component to that.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah. Cause we finally get to that weekend, you know, and her and I are always talking about the weekend. And yeah. And I don't think that it makes any sense until the weekend's there.
Yeah.
And everybody kind of goes through it.
You have to experience it to know.
And a lot of times we may even sound like a broken record, right? But it's because that weekend experience on every weekend that we've been a part of it is the thing that we talk about that everybody wants to experience or should want to experience, because it's about so much more than that stage moment, right? Because, right. You know, you arrived on Thursday.
Yeah.
You got that at the last minute, right?
Yeah, because we picked up Kat at the airport and came up. But I'm telling you, at that point, I was like, when the show's not going to start. Like, he said not to worry. I'm not going to worry. Inside, I was worried. But I'm like, we're not going to worry. And we got Kat and we made it up there. And yeah, it was last minute, but we were there.
No, and that is the inception of just a bunch of things that are happening. Mm-hmm. And getting on stage is just one of the components, right? Yeah. And I think that for a lot of people doing the show, or for a lot of competitors, that stage moment is the only one.
That's it.
Because they don't have something else going on that weekend, right? Yeah. But we like to make the weekend about more than even with the layering process, like getting everybody ready. Like, you know, when we do posing in the hallway, that's right.
Check-ins in the room.
Right. Like, all of those things are purposeful to get everybody kind of prepared and putting in those final reps.
Yes.
But they are highlights of that weekend. Because other than that, you'd be in your room waiting.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Waiting for makeup, waiting for tan. Like, and you spend a lot of time waiting.
Yeah.
When there's nothing else going on. And at that point, because you really can't go out to eat, you're competing, you know.
I gotta go to the pool.
Right. You literally have to just sit there and wait. And if there aren't other things to fill in the time, it could be like a real like mind fuck, you know?
Yeah.
You just sit there and wait and think.
We all hang out the whole time, whether we have a team thing happening or not. Even there were moments where we were just on our Team Forever couches. We picked couches
in the
lobby. And it's like, it's what you're saying. Like, the vibe with everybody makes it for and then everything else that we put in place makes it so that it's a whole experience and not just about like showtime.
100%. And you come out of there just like, you know, like the girls, when they post or when I see them, I'm like, oh my, it you come out of there and it definitely has the feeling of family, because I'm like, wait. And I like when we met after the show, I'm like, okay, when can we like all go on vacation together? Like, you know, because, and the girls were like, I know, it's like, and I think it was Jenna. She's like, it's like you went on family vacation and now you're leaving and you're like, no, but we miss each other, you know? And that's exactly what it is. I'm like, okay, what are they doing today? And let me check in with this one now. And you know, you leave there with, you know, you gain people and you gain an experience. And yeah, you know, it's magical. Like you guys said, I'm like, what is this magical stuff? It is. It's magical. Like magical, you know, and now I'm like, okay, it is magical. I get it. Fine. I give in, you know, but yeah, it really is. It really is.
Along the way, now that you've done it, you've experienced it. Along the way, did you have like a setup of things of how you think it was going to go? And then whichever way it went, did it match what you were thinking? Was it completely different? Like, how was it now that you've gone through the experience, how did it compare or contrast to what you thought was going to happen?
I, you know, Lais asked a question earlier about like, what do you think about people, and then she asked you and you kind of gave a response, and I forgot exactly what the question was, but I think a lot of the times we have expectations of how things are supposed to turn out, and when they're not that way, you're kind of, then that's what, why do people fight it? And that's why you're fighting it, because you're like, but that's not how I pictured it, you know? And I think that happens so many times. I'm like, I didn't lose, you know, 40 pounds, coach, like, you know, what happened here? What's going on with the inches? or why am I bloated again? And I was like, oh, this isn't the way it's supposed to work. Cause we're on social media all the time. We're watching these dumb commercials and these magic pills. And I'm like, oh, but look at all these people's cool sculpting. 2 weeks later, they have no, all this stuff that you know isn't effective, but you're kind of like, it feeds, right? It feeds your expectation. And so many times along the way, I'm like, I don't know what the fuck is going on anymore. Like, and I kept having to shift. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, like, I couldn't guess anymore what was going to happen. I didn't know what was going to happen. At some point, I was like, you know what? Don't let yourself down anymore. Don't have any expectations. Just do this shit. And that's it. And as I started to kind of subscribe to that, then it got better. But so many times I can't even, I was like, I thought my arms would be 10 inches, not whatever, 11.70, and then go up again. And I was like, what the hell is this? You know? And you just kind of like, at some point you're like, whatever, you know, like stop with where it's supposed to be. I remember one of my first texts to him, I'm like, I gained 2 inches on my thighs. He's like, or on my arms. He's like, you know, I think he put like, as a guy, I would kill to gain. I'm like, I'm not a guy. Like in my head, I'm thinking, but I'm not a guy, you know? And, but when you start to like, let go of whatever expectation, because you're making up an expectation based on all the information you're getting on this idea, but without really knowing the process and the science behind it, because there is a science to this. So as you start letting that go towards the show time, I was like, I don't even know. I mean, I had to start visualizing myself on stage because I was like, I don't know that I'm going to make it there. Like I was so nervous. I'm like, I'm not making it here. So I'm like, okay, no, we're going to do some of this like visualization to get on there. I wasn't visualizing the whole routine. I'm like, but you need to picture yourself like on stage, at least get on the stage, you know? And that was as far as my expectation went for the weekend. Aside from that, I was like, I'm not.
But it took a lot of work for you to get there.
As 100%.
No, and this process and this journey is such a mind fuck for the control freak, right? Which yeah. You clearly are. I am too. Like, because anyone that wants to know when it's gonna happen, how it's gonna happen, like I'm a list yep. person, I'm an organized person, I'm a, like, you try to control so many things and you literally cannot control anything about this process, about the outcome. You can only control the work that you do. And even yep. then, you'll have days where you'll get derailed, and he calls me an all or nothing person. That day that I yeah. know I'm getting derailed, I almost like derail myself ahead of time the day before
yeah.
without even noticing, or, you know, because you're so trying to be in control of something that you literally cannot.
Right.
And that will change you when you're used to controlling all of it. And how many times I said, you just got to let go. You just got to do this.
Yeah.
What it's about, because all of these ideas and ideals are really there because you're trying to control something that you literally have no control over.
100%. That's 100%. And you know, yeah, you realize that, and but it's something I'm still working on, right? It's not like, oh, stage happened and that's it. No, but it's gotten better. Like I'm telling you, like even at work, I'm like, whatever. I'm like, oh, what were you doing? I'm like, okay, sit there, whatever. You'll go to CSI later. Like, you know, like I'm like, that's not an, you know, it helps you prioritize things just so much. And it really puts perspective on your life and what's important. I mean, so many lessons from it, really. And I'm sure more will come to me, like, because as I'm at work, I'm like, what is wrong with me? Like, I'm not, you know, and everyone's like, oh, we gotta do this. Like, we're in the middle of testing now. And they're like, oh, they're, you know, this kid didn't show up. I'm like, relax, guys, relax. Like, what's going on, you know? And it's cool because, to be honest with you, I was more like that. And I was more of a risk taker. And then, you know, life happens and you become an adult and you get into relationships with friends or, you know, romantic relationships that you really shouldn't get into. And they kind of begin to shape you and you don't realize that. And someone said, my therapist said, she said, you know, you put into these relationships, but you don't understand that, you know, you're giving something up. You're giving something up. And I'm like, oh yeah. And it took this whole process to understand, like, yeah, I gave up a lot of myself, like that risk taker and the more laid back person. I gave a lot of that up. But then this process has really helped me find like that part of me that I shouldn't have lost. And that confidence that I shouldn't have lost. that I allowed other people to take. And so it's cool to get that back. I'm like, you know, at least the start of it. It's not 100% there, but I'm like, oh yeah, like, you know, it's, there's definitely more of it, you know, and it's really cool to something that I was chasing for a while to get that back. And I had no idea how, and I had no idea that the stage would help me get there. And I'm like, oh shit, like even taking risks, like, I mean, the stage is a risk, you know, right. You're like, what, you're putting yourself out there. And it doesn't seem like that, but yeah, you do it. And then you're like, oh yeah, I can take other risks now. You know, I mean, I'm not going to go ride motorcycles again without helmets and do just crazy, you know, risky things like that, but you are going to take risks, you know? So yeah, that was really cool to get.
I love that. Cause that's really what it's all about. Like truly. And I say that all the time. People are like, well, I don't really know. Like, that's not really I don't really like that. That's not really my thing. And listen, to some people, it will not be, right? But I can guarantee you 99% of women in their 30s, 40s, 50s can relate to what you just said, especially if they're moms, especially if they're married. Like, we all lose so much of who we are, what we want, what we think is possible through these years of relationships and work and kids, right? All these things that shape us. And it's sometimes like in the weirdest of ways that we're able to bring that back. And a lot of times when somebody says, well, I don't really like that. If you actually look at this process, this journey, this goal, and it really like, just like we were talking about this in the other podcast too, like a marathon, or like I use skydiving all the time. Like, I am petrified of flying and I want to change that. But there's nothing about skydiving that calls me. People are like, oh, you feel alive. Like, fuck no, I'm going to die for sure. Right? Like, yeah. That does not call me. But not because, like, I don't think I can do it, but because it's like, that does not feel. A lot of times people say something like this is not for them because they're like, yeah, well, I'm not a confident person. I'm not a front of the room person. I'm not a look at me person. I'm not a fitness person. I'm not a model. I'm not all these things. And that's why they don't do it, instead of like, yeah, but like, I have zero desire to do that, right? Like, they write it off because they think that it's not them, when deep down, if you even look at it for a second, like, it's something you wish could be you. Nobody looks at a pretty confident woman and is like, oh, I don't want to be like that. Everyone wants to be pretty and confident, period. Like, it enhances how you feel about yourself and how you show up to your life and the people that you love. So being able to like bring that back, and that's the part that people shouldn't fight. These changes, like, you should want to change, because at some point you change to where you are now. So there's always room, right, for you to make some changes that will enhance how you live your life. And it's not about becoming someone else. It's about really bringing a lot of that back that a lot of people lose. And I've never had anyone say it that way. And that's exactly what it is. We lose so much of it, like, to a point where we don't even know who we are, you know, in a lot of ways. And this is such an incredible way, if you allow it, to really bring all of that out.
100%.
I think that one of the things that I always say is that it's so great to have all of you that are in different phases of life and doing different things share the story, right? But also that, like, also the different things that you get out of the transformation are so cool to share, because on the other side of this, there's somebody listening or watching that may have never connected to any of the things, and then all of a sudden they're like, that I could relate to, right? And it's like, that's why it's so important to share these stories and these moments. And with that, it's like, now that you've done it, right, you've gone on this journey, you stepped on stage, what does this version of you say to the person on the other side that is maybe on the fence, maybe curious, maybe like, yeah, but not me? What does this Yessie or this version of you say to that person?
It's, I would say, just, I mean, to borrow from Nike, right? Like, just do it. Just go through it. And I mean, if I was speaking to myself, I would be like, you're gonna do this, you know, like that. It would be more like, you're going to do this, and you're gonna get through it. That's what my message to myself would be. Like, you're going to do this and you're going to get through it and you're going to fight it, but you're going to be fine. Like, just chug along, you know, that would be my thing, because yeah, it's, it was interesting. Very, and I had to tell myself a lot of them. I'm like, you committed to this, you're doing it, you know. I was like, you know, pointing the finger at myself and everything, but yeah.
You said so many things that truly showed how life-changing this was for you. And like, it is for everybody, like it's been for me, and I like totally get it. What do you think though is the most impactful part of this whole journey or experience that you got out of it? Like, what was the most impactful thing to you?
Aside from, you know, getting those parts of me back that were missing for so many years, that was huge. I've always said, I forgot where I heard some, I think it was an author that said that, get comfortable with being uncomfortable. And I would say it, but that's my biggest thing. Like, get comfortable. And now I'm like, I am totally comfortable with being uncomfortable. And that's a big thing. Whenever I'm uncomfortable now, I'm like, you're growing. Like, if you're uncomfortable, you're growing. So stay here. You're doing something right. You have your tantrum, cry, complain, do whatever you're going to do. Because I can't tell you how many times I was like, I would tell Sergio, I'm like, that's it. Today's the day. And he's like, all right, you know. And then I would come back and like start lifting weights. And he's like, whatever, there she is again, you know. But I was like, no, you're coming back. You're uncomfortable. This means that you have to do it. And I think that that was a big takeaway, like that change, that growth. When you're not feeling it, that's when it's happening. And just know that when you're in that space and it's kind of dark and you're having your whole meltdown, that's where the growth is happening.
That's where the transformation is happening.
That's where the magic is. Seriously, I was having all sorts of tantrums. I'm like, you know, and then I'm like, oh, like the next day I would have like an aha moment. So I started to like equate them, and you're like, okay, I got to go through this craziness before, you know. So that's definitely been one of the most impactful things that I've gotten used to that, you know.
I love that.
Guys, it seems like every time we do one of these interviews, we have more and more work for Bree to talk these up.
I already texted her. I'm like, this time.
But for all of you watching, I say it all the time, but these are the reasons why we do these interviews post show, so that any of you that are listening or watching can see and listen to the story. Because honestly, like, before and after pictures are cool, but they don't really do justice to the things that actually happened in this journey through compounding consistency.
Your new favorite.
We need merch on that.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, I'm gonna work on that now.
All right.
All of you that are watching, listening, thank you.
Yessi, this was amazing.
Thank you.
And Yessi, it's been so cool to watch all of it happen.
All of it.
Because we have been through all of it, and honestly, like, we're not going to go into a lot of details, but there's been a lot that we navigated through, and it's so cool to see it through and see it on the other side.
Awesome.
That's really what it's all about.
Love it. This was awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Peace out, everybody.
All right. Bye.
Bye.